saving money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome, everyone. We are here. We are live. Fearless Wandering Productions, Fearless Wandering Podcast. We are here to discuss the release of our new film, and we're excited to be here, joined by all you fellow fans and helpful supporters. We thank you all so much. And yeah, I'm one of your hosts, Trent Powell, joined by my other host, Tobias Powell.
Yep. Excited to be here, as always, and excited to talk about the release of our film and just how all that went. And yeah, it was a week ago yesterday. So yeah. Did you have anything to start us out with? Let me start with talking about...
Talk about the movie.
Yeah.
The movie.
So, yeah. A week ago yesterday, we saw a great turnout for the premiere. We saw for our live that we did before the pre-premiere live that we did was great. Saw a lot of people there, had a lot of questions, and that was fun to talk with you guys on that. And... Then we released the movie, did the premiere, had all that. That went pretty well. Found out that YouTube only does 1080p for live premieres. Didn't know that.
Learn new things.
Yeah. next time. And there was like a 5-minute countdown or something.
Yeah.
Didn't know where all that came from. And yeah, but it was fun. It was fun to see the comments as that was going and talk to some of you guys. And yeah, that was really cool. And great turnout. We had a few thousand people within the first day or two watch the movie. And as we are reviewing, as we are talking right now, we had like, what was it, 10 people away from...
We have like 5 away from 10,000.
5 away from 10,000. So
yeah,
so we're just at 10,000 viewers, which is awesome for 1 week. And We're a smaller channel right now, and we're growing, and we appreciate you guys being here, and hope you are enjoying our content, and we're doing this for you guys, and we're super happy with how the release of the film has been. And yeah, 10,000 viewers in a week, that's awesome.
Yes, yeah. Very grateful, very excited, and yeah, it's just awesome, and just see what the Lord's doing, and you know, putting the hard work, and we're just waiting to see where it goes, and you know, on to other projects as well, and we're just continuing to build.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Keep building, keep grinding, keep pushing forward.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in talks with a few different people about some future projects, and yeah, we're excited for all those to go underway, and we're hoping that we can get started on production for those pretty soon. And yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, you know. Anything else as far as like what you think went well, just with the premiere, with the launch, and just maybe discourse online, how things have been looking?
Yeah, it's been such positive feedback. We've heard a lot of great things. Everybody's been loving the movie, and a lot of very nice comments. And I'm not being sarcastic or anything. Genuinely, like a lot of people have really enjoyed it, and that's been great. There's been the normal guys that have bashed it for their reasons, but yeah, that was super positive. And yeah, I don't know, I don't think there's anything else big that happened. Yeah, like I said, there's just a few technical things that we learned about, and we'll adapt to and do better next time. And yeah, we're excited for the future of this and for our company, and just where the Lord is leading us.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, definitely overwhelming support and excitement on the film, which is awesome to see. And we're hoping for some more negative reactions.
Yeah.
We want to see more articles made bashing us. And
for sure.
bashing the movie.
There was.
Good publicity, you know?
Yeah. Right Wing Watch. Did an article. Always posting based content. And yeah, they did an article. It was great. Talked about how based Dale was being in the mm-hmm. movie. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Reflections. Our live had some bad audio technical difficulties. Didn't realize till we watched it back. So I hope this audio sounds better.
Yep. It is. We're learning.
Yeah. There was a setting that we had off. Yep.
That's
so
it's okay.
Yeah. Any other big things? I can't think of.
I don't think so. I mean,
it's been pretty mellow, and people have been loving it. And mm-hmm. like I said, we got quite a few views. And
here are people still putting on watch parties, and some people that hadn't seen.
Yeah, I know there's some people doing a watch party tonight, so that's awesome.
And, yes,
hope they enjoy it. But other than that, yeah,
yeah, no, yeah. I don't. I mean, want to give a Patreon shout out?
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a Patreon. That's patreon.com/fearlesswandering. I know it's frowned upon to be doing Patreon shoutouts with recent news, but we're still on there.
Yep. For now.
Yeah. We got three movies on there now. We got a TV show on there. We got a patron-only podcast on there. We got everything's ad-free, of course, and we have all the full interviews from the movie. So the movie has, I think the shortest one is like 6-7 minutes, and the longest one's like just under 20 minutes, I think. And we're releasing the full interviews. Some of them are upwards of an hour. I think they're all under an hour, but some of them are upwards of an hour, and the shortest one's like 30 minutes. So, I think Calvin Robinson's, which was 30, and so we only released 15 minutes. So there's another 15 minutes of that interview that's going to be released on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. And so we have all those coming out. They're going to come out every Monday. Right now, Joshua Hames is out, and his was 30 minutes, I believe, as well. Or it was 35 minutes is what it was. It was 35 minutes. We only released, I think, 12-13 minutes in the movie. So there's a lot more content there. We're also going to be releasing a director's commentary of the film. Down the road, we're going to release an extended cut of the film with just a lot of deleted scenes and stuff like that, and as well as a behind-the-scenes film that we're going to be putting together with just a lot of the content that we filmed behind the scenes. So that'll be really cool. And that's all going to be on our Patreon. The middle tier, the $10 tier, the What is Christian Nationalism super fans will get all that before the first tier, but everybody will eventually get it. And but our movies, TV show, podcasts, all that is on the first tier. So that's my long tangent of our Patreon shout out. And
we're constantly working to get more content on there, and
yeah,
just we want your guys' support, and we're thankful mm-hmm. for those that do support.
Yeah.
And
it is, yeah, and just whatever you, I mean, any tier you do is support for what we're doing here, and takes a lot of work and a lot of time, and we're trying to put out the best content for you guys as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely,
I think that's all I could think of for that.
Also, if you guys are watching, please like, comment, subscribe, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification button for more. We're going to do more frequent live streams, and all our podcasts are, except for our Patreon only show, which is going to be an after hours show of our live stream, and that we'll do, you know, at least once a month. We're going to be dropping that on our YouTube. All our podcasts except for Patreon.
And so for the rest of this episode, this live stream is going to be much more of what we're going to be doing in the future, which is just talking about the film industry, what we see wrong with it, what they're doing wrong, and how we hope to see it be changed in the future, especially through what we're doing and the work that we're doing in the film industry. And And our company's goal is to see the fall of Hollywood and replace that with a film a film business that or no, a film industry, sorry, a film industry that actually wants to bring glory to the Lord. And so that's what we're building, is a film industry that glorifies the Lord through the content that is released and isn't making porn and movies that are full of porn and tons of language and unnecessary love of gore and just disgusting stuff. Like, I mean, Game of Thrones, The Boys, shows like that, or Breaking Bad, that has a lot of very
nihilistic storytelling,
yes,
but as well as just garbage, nudity, you know, sex scene every episode, and, you know, just glorifying sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got language and stuff and unnecessary violence and gore, which, you know, we're not against violence and gore to an extent when you're making movies. And, you know, maybe that's another conversation for another day. But, you know, we see this constant pumping out of garbage, a lot of nihilistic, you know, usually, you know, evil wins out in the ends, or there's a blurring between the lines of good and evil. We just see that as pretty constant in Hollywood and storytelling. And then you have films that I would say are very good that, you know, put in little things like that. You know, you have the nude scenes, you have the sex scenes that are just unnecessary, that really kind of diminished a lot of the film. But when you cut all that out, when you filter it, you have a good story, a story that is as old as time. You know, between a story about good versus evil and good triumphing over evil, you have underdog stories, you have true heroism, and you know, characters learning how to be good masculine men, and women learning how to be good feminine women, and bringing honor to the Lord and glorifying their roles. And you see that in all sorts of films, even if it's not intended, but it's there. And then when Hollywood tries to blur that line and try to corrupt that and try to present a false view of masculinity, a false view of femininity, they push it and then really make garbage films that no one really likes. Just look at the current box office. Let's look at all the female-led superhero girl boss movies that have come out in the last 5 to 10 years. And look at the box office, see who does or does not want to go see those films.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's just so many movies that even like, just because of the way God made the world, like there's so many movies that unintentionally have good stories, and those might be good movies, but sometimes they're corrupted by just scenes that just shouldn't be there. And so we want to just see the end of that and see that changed.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyways, like Tobias said, this is a kind of a current news entertainment from, a Christian worldview, looking at the state of Hollywood and trying to dissect it and try to pave a path forward.
Yeah.
See what's dying, what's dead, and what needs to be resurrected. Mm-hmm. And how do we redeem this? How do we redeem movies? How do we redeem media and entertainment and TV shows in all its forms? And so, yeah, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get rolling.
Yeah. So what do you got for us?
Yeah, we have a lot of things, honestly, that we could tackle. We'll see what we can get to today. But really, I just want to talk about, this has just been a topic that I've been thinking through a lot, and I know you have as well, but looking at the future of streaming and movie theaters.
Mm.
You know, we talked about current box office. You know, last year I think was one of the worst years in a long time for movies in the box office.
Mm-hmm.
You see a diminishing return on people going to see movies. There's a lot of elements to that. Movie theaters are becoming really expensive. You know, if you got a family of five, you know, you're spending $50 to $100 just to go see a movie.
Yeah.
And it didn't used to be that much. And so it costs a lot. And so when people have to pay that much, they want to be able to go see a movie that's worth seeing.
Yeah.
You know, some people, you know, will still go see a movie just to go see it,
right,
even if it's not any good. But
yeah,
for the most part, a lot of people, especially nowadays, now we have streaming, now we have movies on demand, we have movies on our phones, we have constant access to really whatever we want to watch. And when movies go to streaming, like after like a couple months, you know, if even, sometimes less, sometimes they're straight to streaming. They don't stay in, there's not, the theatrical run is, has diminished significantly.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so people just don't want to go see movies anymore. And that's hard for us as Chiefs. We grew up in this movie theater, you know, one of the movie theater generations, probably one of the last, unless it's something changes, where we loved seeing movies growing up. Mm-hmm. We loved going to theaters. It was one of our favorite pastimes, and being able to take some time away just to go see the latest film that's out and enjoy it and, you know, dissect it and talk about it and talk about it with our friends and see if they went and saw it and then, you know, converse with them about it and debate about it and everything. Like that was always fun. But you don't really get that anymore. There's just the culture has changed. And now I think a lot of it is this current generation just doesn't like to see movies. And that's, you know, comes with, you know, us, you know, them not being raised in our generation, and they're having their own views and their own way of seeing the world and how they entertain themselves. Yeah. And a lot of it, I think, is not helpful as far as like the rise of streaming and the constant access to whatever content you want, really. Or streaming services are now catering to you and telling you, hey, this is what you seem to like. You know, on Netflix, I see that you watch this. Well, here's 10 other movies that you might want to mm-hmm. watch. And they're like feeding you this content, feeding you, here's this next meal that you get to, mm-hmm. you can enjoy. So you enjoy this one. And it's just constant consuming, catering to your desires. And oftentimes people aren't getting a good variety either. That's another issue. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing this in this order. We're obviously questioning, okay, what's the future? Okay, is streaming going to continue to rise? Is Netflix going to take over? Like, you know, you talk about the streaming wars and you have all these streaming services. You have Netflix, you have Disney Plus, you have HBO Max that was Max and was HBO and then Max back to Max. And now it's HBO Max again. You have Peacock, you have Paramount, you have every studio under the sun is making a streaming service. And guess what? Almost none of them are profitable.
Yeah.
I think Disney Plus is like the third most profitable, quote unquote, streaming service. And they're not actually, they are constantly losing money. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, they also have stopped putting out as many projects as they used to. And they're instead, what they're doing is they're buying other companies. Disney buys Hulu, and you know, they got of course ESPN, you know, to create this package. And then now they're, you know, I'm sure they're trying to expand other ways, but like they're, instead of making new content, they're just buying other stream services so they can use their content. They bought 20th Century Fox, you know, a few years ago. And so, or I don't even know when that was. And then I think, HBO is probably the second profitable one, the next one on the list. That's, and they're not, likely, they're probably not very profitable. And then, but Netflix is the one that's kind of taken over. Mm-hmm. Netflix is the most profitable. Say what you want about their content. Most of it is absolute garbage. I don't think there's been a show or a movie or project. There might be a couple movies, but there's really not been like a TV show that I could say like, oh yeah, I agree, I love this, I support this, I want to see more of this. You know, Stranger Things for a little bit, it was good for a season or two, and then it just completely fell off the rails. And I don't know. And then a lot of their shows just get canceled. They don't last very long.
No, they don't. Yeah. It was almost surprising to see that Stranger Things even lasted its full 5 seasons, because that hasn't really happened with any of their other shows.
No, it
hasn't. They always get canceled before they hit the end of whatever they were planning. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so with movie theaters, like it's interesting to see how many movies they are bringing back that are old movies. Like, I mean, all during the entire Christmas season, there was like always multiple classic Christmas movies that were playing in theaters. There was like no new original Christmas movies. It was only classic Christmas movies that were playing, and most of them were selling out. I mean, they mm-hmm. were selling really well, and it's because it's movie theaters are becoming a very niche form of entertainment. It's something special where you go out and you go watch a movie at the theater. It's a special time to go and do that, and that's what it's kind of become, and that's what it's going to continue to become. I mean, we have Lord of the Rings in theaters right now.
Yeah,
all like they're they're all through, like, I think it was this weekend and next weekend, and they're all sold out. Like, it's, like, completely full. I went to look. I was like, oh, maybe we can go see the first one. But no, it was, like, just the front row that was left.
And it's the extended edition.
Yeah, and it's the extended
edition. 4 hours
yeah.
for these movies.
And they're selling out. Like, people are, they, it's not that they don't want to go to the theaters for a good movie, because they're willing to go to the theaters for a good movie. And they're just not making good movies anymore. Mm. And it's just, it's become, theaters are becoming very niche, and they're not going to go away. They're going to just, there's just going to be fewer of them, and it's just going to be a much more special occasion type of thing that people are going to go to.
Comes retro.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah. You know, that's, I think that's one thing, either it's either this new generation or our generation is all about is retro, you know, just love. It's that nostalgia, I guess, that love for the old, for what once was, in a sense. And that's not sustainable. It doesn't last, you know, but like, you're right. Like, I think, yeah, you're right. Movie theaters will always be there. They'll just be fewer.
Yeah.
And
100%.
You know, you had the Harry Potter movies, I think, last year went in theaters, and you know, they made millions of dollars as well. It's like,
yeah.
You know, people were going to see these movies. Movies that they've seen, movies that they have access to, movies that they have on DVD, Blu-ray, 4K.
Yeah.
They're able to watch them in their home.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with the fact that streaming services are taking over.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they're just not making movies worth spending that $50 for to go to the theater to see. Because people are willing to spend the money, and we can see that through the movies that are being sold out at theaters, like Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. And, yeah, I don't know. That's the biggest thing, is, like, then you start making good movies. movies that are worth
going. And that's kind of where we come in, and that's what our goals are to make more movies and make movies that are good, true, and beautiful, and glorify the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tell timeless stories that are worth watching, that inspire truth, goodness, and beauty, and that motivate us towards that which is worth following and pursuing after, and being better men, being better women, being better husbands, being better fathers, better wives, better mothers, you know, being better and learning how to read stories rightly, and to interpret stories and apply stories in their own way, and the way that they're intended to be told. They're meant to teach us things.
Yeah.
Stories are teachable. They teach us. And so what, you know, the question always is, like, what are you being taught in this film? What are they preaching to you? You know, and of course Hollywood loves to preach, nowadays, you know, I'm going to start calling them propaganda wood. I don't know. Or just there's always propagandas behind it. They always have something. They have a message they want to preach and teach, and you know. And so the question is, what is that message, and what are you feeding yourself?
Yeah.
What meal are you putting before yourself?
Right. And there are, like, good messages to tell. And when we review movies, that's what, like, we dissect. Like, this is, like, the reason this is a good movie is because it's telling a good story. It's propagandizing something that's good.
Right.
And that's what makes a good movie. And when you are you're literally creating art to try to push something that is not beautiful, but art is supposed to be beautiful. So nobody's going to like it. And
exactly.
All
right, so with that, like, you have Netflix is looking to purchase Warner Bros.
Mm-hmm,
Warner Bros., one of the original big Hollywood studios, and, you know, produced many great films, owns the rights to a lot of great films like The Lord of the Rings, and which we talk about a lot on our podcast. We have a movie review coming out related to that. Stay tuned.
Yep.
But Netflix is looking to purchase, but then you also have Paramount, and there's this bidding war going on where, you know, Paramount's put in a bid that was actually, I believe it was higher than Netflix's bid.
And it was, like, all cash.
It was basically,
But Warner Bros. Turned it down.
Warner Bros. Turned it down because it seems like they wanted to go to Netflix, because the Netflix deal would benefit the executives more, because they will have better further roles within the company, or they'll get a better payout, where the Paramount deal benefits the shareholders. They get more bang for their buck, you know, that more a higher price for their shares that they own. And they're, what's funny is both these companies are bidding for Warner Bros., and Warner Bros. Is worth less than what they're bidding for, significantly less. Mm-hmm. Like, their shares are way low. I think it's like $20 or something right now, and they're asking for, like, they're going to pay like $30-something per share.
Yeah.
And Paramount is, and Netflix's deal is around that price. And so they're bidding for a company that's dying.
Yeah.
That's not worth what they're spending, but they see the potential and what it can be worth if it's run properly.
Yeah.
But you have Netflix that can't seem to make a good project, and Paramount's, I know Paramount has a lot of actually semi-decent shows on their platform, when you filter out a lot of some of the garbage, but you have both these companies that are fighting for a company that's dying, and the reason that Warner Bros. Is getting sold is because they failed.
Yeah.
Because they can't make good stuff, the good content. They can't produce something that's of quality, and now they're worth less than what they used to be worth, and now there's a bidding war. And of course, they're probably in a sense gloating over the fact, we have these big companies vying for us, trying to buy us out. But we didn't earn it.
Right.
It's just the name that they're really buying and the projects that Warner Bros. Has. Anyways, that's just, if Netflix buys Warner Bros., I think that is going to further progress the end of movie theaters as we know it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you have this big studio being purchased by a company that doesn't like movie theaters.
Yeah.
They specifically said that they don't like the movie theaters because it goes against their agenda and their company and what they're about.
Their mission,
their streaming service.
Absolutely.
Movie theaters don't help them out.
No, there's absolutely no profit for them in movie theaters, and they're trying to buy one of the last companies that would put movies in theaters.
What's interesting is Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, who they've been good friends, I think, for a long time, and
since the beginning of their career when they did Good Will Hunting.
And so they were both on Joe Rogan's podcast, I think this past week. And they were talking a lot about AI and the rise of AI and the state of streaming and the movie theater business. And I thought they had some great things to say. And there's one thing I wanted to touch on about what Matt Damon was saying there. He was commenting on Netflix, and he was basically saying that Netflix movies and TV shows, they want to they're writing their stories to appeal to teenagers or young adults that sit on their phones usually when they watch movies. You'll put a movie on and you'll just scroll X and Facebook and just have the movie playing in the background. Every once in a while you'll look up and see it, and they commented on this and how Netflix is intentionally writing their stories for this, where they have things like where they'll have the characters state the plot of what's going on in the movie 3 or 4 times, so you have this like exposition dump. You watch Stranger Things, and this is really evident. They're always explaining what's going on and telling the audience once again, oh, did you not know this? Well, this is what's going on, and they're telling the other characters already know what's going on, but they do that so that people can sit on their phones and then look up and like, I know what's going on now. Now I can go back to my phone and wait for the next exposition dump. That's become the standard way for them to really make like an action movie or make a story or tell a story. It's just, they have to appeal to this, the way that this generation consumes entertainment, which is really interesting. But and usually, like with movies, you have, as Matt Damon was saying, you have three set pieces. You have one in the first act, one in the second, one in the third. And then you spend most of your money on that one third act. Most of the money is put into the big third act of the film. But now they want to put the big set piece at the beginning to grab people's attention, because they can't hold their attention for even an hour and a half film, because we're just constantly consuming our content, looking through reels. And it's like, we need to be constantly entertained. So you have to put all that money, a bunch of money in the first act, and then hopefully hold them till the third act when you have where the big set piece is supposed to be. And sometimes it's underwhelming. It's just disjointed. It's all convoluted, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this is like, it is a trap that even we could fall into of being on our phones while we watch movies. And there's definitely good ways to combat this. And I think one of the best is to watch movies with your friends. If you intentionally put time away to spend time watching a movie with your friend, whether it's an old movie, a new movie, whatever, like, it's easier to put your phone away, watch the movie, and watch it all the way through without being on your phone, because you have that sort of accountability. And that is how, if you're going to spend your time watching a movie, don't waste it. Like, don't have that time wasted. And, cause I mean, watching movies, TV shows, whatever, can easily become very wasted time, if you're not actually watching it and you're just on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
we have such a short attention span.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I'm guilty of that as well.
Right.
You know, and we all are. And just because of where we're at in entertainment, and that it's that constant being fed. And that's why, like me, I've gotten to the point where I love sitting down and not touching my phone, mm-hmm. and just watching an older movie that's, yeah. would be considered long, even yeah. by, like, you know, yesterday's standards. Yeah. You know, it's I find so much more enjoyment in just like watching the film, dissecting it, watching, you know, the film work, watching the cinematography, and, mm-hmm. and following the actors, following the story, and just watching movies in that way. It's like, I'm training myself to have a great appreciation for yeah. those longer movies that maybe I wouldn't have enjoyed so much before, but now I'm learning to, and I think we need more of that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And you know, even you have the traditional 90-minute film is like, you know, it can I know there's times where it can feel a lot longer than 90 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, and just because of our short attention spans. But I think I'm trying to grow that appreciation. It's something you got to retrain yourself for.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely worth it. Like, it's definitely worth putting that effort into watching a movie properly, and there's much benefits into many lessons that you can learn in life, and that's what movies were originally intended for. And there's many benefits.
Definitely.
Cool. What's next?
Yeah, going forward, you know, moving on from the state of the streaming world, kind of moving on to trying to segue into another streaming service, sort of Disney Plus, but from that, one of their big franchises they own, Star Wars. We have witnessed the death of Star Wars in the last like 10 years. Well, let's say 14 years since George Lucas signed it over to Disney, signed Lucasfilm over. It's so interesting. Like, I'm a big fan of Star Wars. I've grown up with Star Wars. We both have grown up with the Star Wars films. I'm enjoying now being able to show my kids the Star Wars films and kind of introduce that world to them. But like, man, what Disney has done to it has been atrocious. It's been awful. They've completely diminished it in so many ways to where it's unpopular now. Like, Star Wars is unpopular. Yeah. In this world of entertainment and film and media, like, people aren't talking about it. Like, you have a niche group of fans that, you know, love what they're doing with it, love the female characters. You know, they champion the phrase "the Force is female," like the now former president of Lucasfilm did. They're all about where that's going, but it's a really niche group, and the fans that
I don't think they actually like the movies, to be honest.
They probably
I don't think they do. I think they just like that they're going in that direction, and I they guess. Don't actually like the films.
They
because
don't
if you actually enjoyed Star Wars, you really wouldn't like you. It would. It's changing it completely, and I think they're just more happy with the fact that they're being more inclusive and all that crap.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty much. And it's so weird to see that what they did is they took a boy brand, a male brand,
mm-hmm.
in Star Wars. It was made for a male audience. It was made for boys that were becoming men, that looked at Luke Skywalker as him going, seeing him go on the hero's journey, being a kid from nowhere and being thrown into this vast galaxy, this vast world, mm-hmm. and learning about his heritage and learning to be the hero that he was born to be and that he's being called to be, and him taking that responsibility to defeat the Empire and to win the girl and to be that hero. That boy brand, which had, you know, a female audience, there you know, mm-hmm. women can enjoy it too. Yeah. They're because this that story, which is as old as time, can be enjoyed by those both male and female,
yeah.
by men and women, and absolutely. They do. But they took a primarily male brand and they made it into a female brand all the way from the beginning of the purchase. Mm-hmm. They said from the beginning, George Lucas handed them his outline, his scripts for the sequel trilogy, what he wanted, and they said, "Thank you, George. We're gonna throw it out as you're out the door. We're throwing the script
we're gonna,
out as well.
We're gonna make a scene of Luke Skywalker metaphorically doing that
same thing." Yeah, pretty much. And we're going to not only are we going to throw out your script, but we're going to completely destroy every single character that you've established, that you've created, characters that people have grown to love and appreciate. We're going to completely diminish them. We're going to push them down so that we can rise up our characters, the characters we've created that we want. We're going to create a female Luke Skywalker in Rey, but guess what? She's going to be so much better than Luke. She's going to learn the Force way faster. She's going to pick up a lightsaber and defeat the trained Sith. She's going to have everything go right for her and have no struggles, no trials. Luke, you lost a hand. Well, she used Force lightning instead, and she became got all the powers when you couldn't even do it. And she's going to be the greatest thing ever, and everyone's going to love her and praise her and give her a round of applause. And not only that, but she's going to take the name Skywalker in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what we're gonna do with your franchise. Han Solo, you know, the scoundrel that became a hero, became a war hero, and you know, won the girl. Yeah, we're throwing that out. We're throwing him out. And in fact,
also their relationship didn't work out. And yeah. They hate each other.
Yeah, he became a deadbeat dad. Yeah,
yeah.
His son hates him, and he walked into his son's lightsaber and fell off. What I hate so much about Han Solo's death in Force Awakens is that they gave him a villain death. Mm. He fell from a high place down to the abyss.
Yeah.
He had a villain's death. The great hero Han Solo, they completely flipped his arc. They degressed his arc.
Yeah. Yeah.
To where he's now back to where he was at the beginning of the original ones. In fact, he's way worse off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to die a villain's death and have no hero. He's not going to have his hero moment anymore. He's dead.
Yeah,
we're throwing him off a cliff. And then you have Luke Skywalker who's given up on life. The great hero. He had a bad dream and tried to kill his nephew. And then Leia, she was there.
Yeah,
it's great. She became a general. That's it.
Yeah,
and we're gonna have her fly through space like Mary Poppins.
It's
astounding to me to see what they did with Star Wars, and that's just talking about the movies, which mm-hmm. are atrocious. The three sequel trilogy movies I will never watch. I will never show my kids those movies. I don't care about them. They've left a terrible taste in my mouth,
mm-hmm.
and I want nothing to do with them. There's nothing redeemable about them. They're just garbage.
There's nothing good about them. Not worth watching ever again.
Right. So we see this movie, this brand, because it became a female brand, and they started making TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have The Mandalorian. Okay. Good masculine character. You know, he's a bounty hunter. He's, you know, doesn't care about the opinions of others. He just does his thing. You know, he maybe had a good season, you know, and then you have one good season, which I'm starting to question that. I need to go back and watch it. It's probably not any good. I thought it was good at one point, but who knows? I can't even remember much about it anyway. Then you have the second season where he gets sidelined by, you know, this whole by a cameo fest.
Yeah,
you know, the Mandalorian Season two is the Mandalorian meeting every important character in Star Wars.
Yeah. Every important character that's still alive, yes. We're going to have them meet them, and that is the show.
That's it.
I want to go back and actually watch the first season as well and see what my opinions are now, because it has been quite a while since I've watched it. But, yeah, if there's any good season, it was just the first season.
Right. And then season three, which was also just awful, and that one became the Bo-Katan show. You know, so he got sidelined by a female character in that season, completely sidelined, and it was all about her and her journey and her story. And so you have all these characters. Then you have the Obi-Wan show, where Obi-Wan completely diminished and sidelined by a female character as well, or becomes the Reva show. Mm-hmm. You have the Ahsoka show, and which is all about her and her hero's journey, and it's just constantly pushing out these female characters and uplifting them while diminishing the male characters. All the male characters in Ahsoka look like bumbling idiots. They take Thrawn, one of the greatest villains in Star Wars, and make him sound like a complete moron.
Yep.
And making terrible decisions.
With a
beer belly.
Oh, my gosh.
Getting outsmarted by all these women.
Worst Thrawn.
It's terrible.
Oh, Thrawn is such a great character, and they just completely destroyed him with... that just embarrassing version of him in Ahsoka.
Yeah. And we could go on and on. And I'm not going to go much more on about this, but basically, they did this because they wanted to appeal to a new audience. They wanted to find a new audience for Star Wars, which I can commend that to an extent.
Yeah.
They buy Star Wars and like, okay, we want to appeal to the next generation. I would say that's okay if they actually won the next generation.
Yeah.
You don't have kids buying Star Wars toys. You don't have kids watching Star Wars movies anymore. No one cares about Star Wars.
They're like, you know what the cool thing is? Gay. let's make a show that's gay so we can appeal to the kids.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started about The Acolyte.
Oh, yeah.
The lesbian space witch show.
Yeah. Which is just... You can see that that's what they were building up to, though.
Yeah, that was
like
it.
That. No, like seriously, like that. Since they bought Star Wars, that was their ultimate goal was to make that the main
show,
the main line, the mainstream thing for Star Wars. They're like, this is what we want Star Wars to end up being.
And they wanted to make more and more,
and they completely destroyed it along the way, and that's where they are, and it's dead now.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't, you know, unless things change, it's not going to be resurrected. And it seems like things have changed, Tobias, because Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilm, the one that George Lucas handpicked and that he handed all the rights to, the whole company over to, she is retiring. Mm-hmm. Tobias, is she retiring in shame or in triumph?
Yeah, she destroyed her image and... She accomplished what she wanted to, I guess.
I guess. She made it a female brand.
Yeah.
She literally went out. Like after she became the president of Lucasfilm, she came out in front of, I think it was like Comic-Con or something, and she wore a shirt that said, "The Force is female." The Force is female. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what it became.
Yep. Yeah.
The Force was all about uplifting all the females and all the women in Star Wars.
Yep. And they pushed every single male fan of the show, of the IP, just out the door.
Yeah. And then we look at our replacement. So Dave Filoni, the creator of the Clone... Well, he's not the creator of the Clone Wars. George Lucas is the creator of the Clone Wars. The creator of shows like The Rebels and Ahsoka and
took whatever the Clone else Wars he did. To where he ended up taking it.
Right.
There used to be a lot of... hope there in him, and he was supposed to be the runner up of George Lucas and take his visions to where George Lucas wanted him, and his involvement with Mandalorian, kind of specifically the later seasons, really showed his true colors and that he wasn't the man he wasn't the hero we wanted. No. the hero we were hoping he was.
What's the hero that Disney deserves?
Yeah.
That Star Wars deserves.
Yeah, absolutely.
He once spoke at this, basically it was a feminist convention. It was to a bunch of women. And he stood up and he was talking about how great all the female characters are in Star Wars, how great Rey is, and how all these toxic fans were, you know, bashing her and saying how terrible it is that we have a woman that's taking the charge and leading and you know, using a lightsaber and becoming a Jedi and all these things. And he was praising Rey and her character journey, even though she's a Mary Sue who had everything going for her and had everything handed to her and had all these great abilities that came out of nowhere. And she had no struggle and no character growth, no development. But she's so great because she's this powerful woman. You know, this is Dave Filoni talking about her, and he even made a comment about how in A New Hope it was so great how Luke Skywalker, all he had to do was open the door for Leia so that she can rise and be the great princess and great hero that she is. You know, when he rescued her,
yeah.
When he went all the way across the galaxy and onto the Death Star to rescue the princess, he was just opening the door for her so that she could be free. That's great. It's just all this, you know, this is what they want. This is what Dave Filoni wants. There are so many fans out there saying, oh, yeah, they're praising the fact that Kathleen Kennedy has stepped down, that, you know, the Wicked Witch is dead. But yeah, she's being replaced by not one, but two other witches.
Yeah.
because there's two now head executives of Lucasfilm. So Dave Filoni has been the CCO, the creative content officer.
Mm-hmm.
Content creator, officer, whatever this, of Lucasfilm, and then he's been in control of a lot of things, a lot of things creatively. And when you look at the Clone Wars, the only thing that's really good about the Clone Wars is what George Lucas created. And you know, George Lucas wanted Ahsoka to die like a long time ago, but now she's the most pivotal, important character in all of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay. but basically, you know, him and then this other woman who's basically just. These are two people that Kathleen Kennedy picked to take over.
Yeah,
you know, so it's Dave Filoni and then this woman named Lynwyn Brennan. She's just a younger Kathleen Kennedy.
Yep,
and they're going to continue to. It's going to be status quo at Lucasfilm. They're going to continue to continue to grow this female brand and appeal to an audience that does not exist. Mm-hmm. And they're going to continue to. Fall and fail. It'll probably end up getting worse. I think it will. I think if anything, Kathleen Kennedy maybe was more smart as far as the production side. She's been producer of a lot of great films. Actually, she was a producer of all the Indiana Jones, E.T., a lot of Steven Spielberg stuff.
Oh yeah, she's been around for a long time.
A long time.
Work. Yeah, absolutely. She knows the film industry well.
But she ruined one of the greatest franchises of all time.
Yeah.
Not only that, she ruined three franchises, actually. She ruined Star Wars, Indiana Jones, with the Dial of Destiny. I didn't see that movie. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
Don't care. It's the same story.
Mm-hmm.
Female comes in. She's so much better than Indiana Jones. She talks down to him constantly.
Yeah.
In the end, she punches him in the face, and she saves the day. That's it. That's the end of that's how the film ended.
Yeah.
And of course he's just a deadbeat dad. After his son died, he left his wife and just completely fell apart. It's Han Solo all over again.
Yeah.
And he gets talked down to by a woman. And then what's the other show? Willow. Willow's the other show that Lucasfilm has.
Yeah.
That they made a TV show and then it was so bad that they took it off of the streaming service.
Yeah.
so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But anyways. Kathleen Kennedy, she's not getting fired. She's stepping down and handing the reins off to probably two less competent people for the role.
Yep.
She's going to continue to ruin this brand and make Star Wars even more irrelevant.
Yeah. Which is what, and this is just more proof that we need more filmmakers, more Christian filmmakers that actually care about stories to support the people that are doing it and to just have those people that. More people, more Christians making more content with good stories and creating worlds like Star Wars and like Lord of the Rings in Middle Earth and creating those worlds and creating good stories around them and creating stories that are, you know, like Stranger Things, like what the first season of Stranger Things was and make it better. and continue in telling a good story and not just ending it on everyone is gay.
Everyone is gay.
Which is what that's what Hollywood is now. It's like every story that they come up with, like everybody just ends up being gay.
It's fake and gay.
Yep.
It's androgynous. It's the diminishing of male and female. It's, you know, it's the diminishing of sex, sex roles and marriage and relationships. And it's a complete degrading of nature and what God created. And it's because they hate God. They hate God. They hate his creation. And they make it clear in the stories that they want to tell and try to tell. And then you have stuff like franchises like Marvel is trying to appeal back to the audience that created that made the Marvel what it is. And
this new Avengers is going to be very interesting to see
it is.
What it does, because they are bringing back all the white males. And I mean, I haven't seen any trailers with any females in it.
Well, did you see the most recent one with
which one
the
was
Wakandan
that?
One?
Oh yeah, I did see that. Never mind.
Great way to end it. Fourth trailer, just building up. You got Thor. You got Captain America. You got the X Men.
Yeah, but you had the other guy there. What, I don't know his what name.
Ebonk.
He was the only one that talked in the trailer.
Well, yeah.
It was only men. Thing. So true. The woman didn't even say anything.
No, she did, didn't she? She's she was talking about how what it takes to be a king. Because she's king of Wakanda.
Maybe I didn't watch the whole trailer.
It's okay. It was a nothing burger.
Yeah. I was checked out when I saw that. It was her,
anyways, but it's all just...
Yeah.
It's garbage. It's not...
Yeah.
Nothing.
We need white men.
We need white men. That's it.
We need men telling good stories in...
We'll clip that. It's good.
Yeah. We need men telling good stories in the film industry. That is what we need. Mm-hmm. And,
I guess so. That's it. we need men with backbones, men that aren't afraid of pleasing, a certain demographic, men that aren't, that want to create their own visions and tell their own stories. Mm-hmm. And we have that. We have guys like Denis Villeneuve, mm-hmm. with the Dune movies. We have Christopher Nolan. He's a hit or miss sometimes. But I commend those directors for their visions. They don't really care about what other creatives are doing. They've created enough of it. They built themselves up to the point where they can create their own projects and have their own visions.
Well, Denis Villeneuve, though, we'll see with the third Dune movie.
Oh, yeah, we'll see.
Because Zendaya is in it.
Well, yeah.
She
was the worst part of Dune 2.
Yeah.
Though Dune 2 had a lot, was really good.
Yeah.
But she brought it down a lot.
Yeah, and like we had talked about it, though, like, it's all up to where it goes from here. Because... Mm-hmm. If you can look at the Dune 2 movie in a certain point of view and see that she was acting in a way that she shouldn't have been and was wrong, it's because the movie didn't end, so it's like it's hard to see.
Sure.
But I doubt he's going to have her apologize to Atreides. What's it? Paul Atreides?
Paul Atreides, yeah.
Yeah. I doubt that's going to happen.
No.
Zendaya would refuse.
Well, yeah, they set her up as like an antagonist. They set her up as an antagonist to the hero in the book. That's definitely not where her character goes. But she's really kind of, for the most part, somewhat sidelined in Dune Messiah. We could go on and on.
The point is, like, having these, like, build a film production company and then don't hand the reins over to a leftist woman to take it over, because it'll die.
Yep. It's like George Lucas did.
We need more men to step up and to create good, true, and beautiful stories.
That goes back to what I was saying. George Lucas, he had a vision. Everyone told him it couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. Everyone told him Star Wars was going to be a failure. Everyone told him that the New Hope was not going to be any good. People were saying it's not any good and that it wasn't even worth
investing
in.
Even the actors in it were talking behind his back, saying how awful and dumb this
space
movie is.
War movie is. And it went on to become one of the most successful in his time successful franchises of all time. Mm-hmm. And one of the most popular brands out there. around the world. Mm-hmm. And it was because he had a vision, he had a dream, and he didn't listen to those around him. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to make his product,
yeah,
his movie, his tell his story.
Absolutely.
And it was a success.
Yeah.
Now there's many stories where people do that and they're terrible movies and they completely fail, and that's how it goes.
Absolutely.
And, but you keep pursuing your vision, keep working hard. And for us, we have a vision and a mission as a company that we're trying to pursue, we're trying to stick to and be faithful to, and to tell these stories that are good, beautiful, and true, and the stories that honor the Lord, stories that glorify that which God glorifies, mm-hmm. and that tells and it, that makes a clear distinction between good and evil, and to show the downfall of evil and what it takes to make the right choice and so forth. And we have a vision, mission, we're sticking to that, and we're trying to be faithful to that and trust that the Lord gives the growth.
Yeah.
And brings about the fruit of our labor and our work.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyways, we see all these movies, and to bring it all, actually to bring that full circle with Star Wars, Star Wars has a movie coming out this year.
Yeah.
When was the last time Star Wars had a movie coming out?
I don't even know when the last one was. It had to have been,
three years
ago?
In theaters?
Was it more?
No. Star Wars hasn't had a movie in 8 years.
What?
Yeah. I think, seven years. Rise of Skywalker came out in 2019.
And then wasn't there a movie after that?
Nope.
Oh.
That was the last movie that Star Wars has released.
And it was 2000 what?
19.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
7 years.
Hmm.
So there's a movie coming out this year. The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yeah.
The worst movie title of all time.
Yeah.
And they had something for a moment with Mandalorian and Grogu, where Grogu is popular, They wanted to make all these toys. They weren't even prepared. They didn't think it was going to be successful, and yet it was, and Grogu became super popular. That's died away. No one really cares.
Yeah.
No one cares about Mandalorian. No one cares about Grogu.
I don't think there's going to be a surge in sales of the Grogu toys.
Nope, definitely
Everybody
not.
Everybody got pretty tired of them.
Yeah.
There's going to be a handful of people, but I don't think it's... I don't think it's going to be what they want.
There's no character there. He's just a little baby that walks around and eats fish eggs and uses the Force sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't talk.
Yeah.
Talks like a baby.
Yeah.
That's it. There's nothing. There's no character.
Yeah. And it should have ended when it did end. And then they brought him back
for season three.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. I forgot about that show.
That show was so bad.
Yep, another character they completely ruined. But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have a movie coming out this year, and it'd be really interesting to see what it does in the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Rise of Skywalker has, you know how big of that budget was? Mm-hmm. It was $500 million. One of the most expensive movies of all time.
Yeah.
And one of the worst movies of all time. And it when things come down to it, it didn't make a profit. It made $1 billion or so, but with marketing and everything and cost for movie theaters, it didn't make a profit. Yeah. So their last movie was unprofitable, and now it's gonna be interesting to see what they do with this movie, which probably has a lower budget because it's they film it all in that studio that they made just for the Mandalorian. So anyways, it might have a cheaper budget, but we'll see if anyone cares.
Yeah.
I don't.
No.
I'm a Star Wars fan. At least used to be. It's been so hard to, watch Star Wars movies anymore, even the old stuff. It's been so diminished and ruined. But
yeah.
Anyways.
I think the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy are separated enough from the other movies that I can still watch them and enjoy them. But. Yeah.
I wish that was the case for me. No, I get that. I said, I'm showing my kids. And I can try to turn that off sometimes, but it's hard.
All right.
So,
anything else?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it.
Cool.
Great way to end it.
Yeah,
I guess. Not really, but sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, corporations kill franchises. Corporations kill stories. And you have Warner Bros. Probably getting purchased by someone like Netflix, and they have the rights to Lord of the Rings. Netflix also has a right to the Chronicles of Narnia, and we're the film. I say the rights, the film rights to these things, and It's just, I don't know. Christians need to put their resources in better things, and because storytelling is important.
Yeah.
Storytelling wins culture. And when you have bad storytelling, culture diminishes. When you have good storytelling, culture can progress. And we have the greatest story of all time in the gospel. And we want Christ to be honored in all stories. And we want to tell that story of redemption in all its ways and in the many ways that God tells it. And God tells stories of death, resurrection every day. Every day that we wake up, we die and rise, and we continue to tell that story in our own lives, and we want to tell that story in movies and films and TV and books and every way that we can.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
what we're about.
Awesome.
We trust the Lord continues to tell those stories and uses us for his own glory.
Amen.
All right.
Cool.
Sign off.
Yep. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We will be doing this pretty regularly, and we have our other episodes that we release on our Spotify, and we'll release the videos on YouTube and all that as well. So hit that subscribe button, hit that bell, and get notified. And thank you for your support, and hope you enjoyed this.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We're out.
Bye.
Bye.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Right at...